And we have with us live in the studios once again, John Parrish and Maria Tomchick, both with Eat the State. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I've already broken my first New Year's resolution, which is not to get up early on Saturday mornings.
Okay.
That didn't work at all.
All right. Let's. You guys have are continuing a yearly tradition.
Yes, our 15th annual. So it is every year, Eat the State, and in general, and Maria and I in particular, have been compiling for a number of years now our list of the most overhyped and underreported stories of the previous year, which in this case is 2010. And we've done that again this year. The full list of them is in a constellation of stories that is at eattheState.org. The exception to that is Maria's list of overhyped, which she put on her blog, which I forgot to link to last night. So we'll fix that when I get home.
There's a link to it on the Eat the State website.
Is there?
There's a
on the blog.
To contributors blogs.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. But we'll put it in the story also.
All right.
But it's all there. So check it out, and we'll hit the highlights on this show this morning.
All right. So how are we going to tackle this, starting out with overhyped?
Let's start with overhyped, and we break them down by local and then by national and international. So, Maria, what do you have for overhyped local?
Oh, for overhyped local, I have two things on my list. I have I-1077 would have imposed an income tax on all Washington residents. Well, no. It was a tax on couples with income over $500,000 per year and singles with income over $250,000 per year. And if the state legislature had voted to extend the tax to all Washington residents, well, guess what? We would have passed an initiative to repeal that. Duh. That's kind of how the political process works.
Actually, under 1053, which was always polling as though it was going to pass, it would have been required to pass the voters in the first place.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And also by the history of legislatures where they wouldn't dare pass something like that without voter approval.
Yeah. And so the media was allowed to make a big deal out of it to go on and say, oh, yes, it could possibly happen, kind of boosting the claims of the people who are against I-1077 without really seriously looking at how difficult that would have been.
Well, there were actually a lot of different things in the election this past year where the impression that voters were given on the truth of another particular measure wasn't actually what was going on.
Yeah, and the media just bolstered those claims. Another one was the candy tax was a tax on food. Well, no. It was not a tax on food. And I got really sick of the commercial that kept playing over and over again on TV where the woman who makes organic candy was complaining that she had to pay the candy tax. Yes, energy bars
yes,
are candy.
It's candy. Yeah.
Yes.
And the one about that did me, all of the photos that they had of, you know, they're going to tax this bag of groceries, and the bag of groceries was all, you know, candy and soda. Mm-hmm. Well, they had about three different brands of raisins in there because raisins, of course, are dried fruit, and dried fruit under the standard definition used by states for taxation purposes is considered a form of candy.
And it is really a form of candy.
Yeah. Well, most people don't think of raisins as a dried fruit, let alone candy. And so people assume that's a grocery. And so for some reason, this mythical grocer is buying three different types of raisins. Because they had to find something, anything that they could fill that bag with that would possibly be considered as groceries.
Yeah, and the media did almost nothing to try to refute that claim.
Yeah. Meanwhile, one of my lead overhyped was Dino Rossi himself in terms of being a local overhyped story. Because, you know, if you think about it, you know, in a year where most Republicans were favored to win and really had to be caught doing pretty unsavory things with farm animals in order to lose. You know, Rossi was behind in the polls from the moment he started against Patty Murray. He occasionally caught up. Rarely, I think there were maybe two polls by Rasmussen or Survey USA, which leaned Republican, that at one point showed him ahead by a point or two. But most of the time he was behind, even though he was getting massive amounts of money thanks to Citizen United from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, from Wall Street, from all the various corporate interests he was sucking up to. And still, he was unable to catch up to Patty Murray.
Yeah, just about anybody else should have been in the running, at least.
Yeah, but nonetheless, the media coverage of it all throughout the campaign basically portrayed the race as a toss-up. It never was. Murray was the favorite all along.
All right, so that's local.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, one more. Mike McGinn is not evil incarnate, no matter what the Seattle Times thinks.
Okay. How about national?
National, yeah. Financial reform will protect you from evil banks. That was my favorite one because, of course, that's wrong. There's nothing that will protect you from evil banks. That's something that was proved time and again this year.
Except a wooden stake through the heart.
The end of the Iraq War was one of my favorites. This was done with a lot of ballyhoo and trumpeting from the Obama administration and you know, lots of chin stroking from the mainstream media about what does it all mean? Well, what it all means is actually nothing. You know, we've still got troops in Iraq. They're still shooting. They're still being shot at. There's still a civil war going on. There's still people who hate each other in Iraq. There's still a lot of violence. There's still a government which was dysfunctional and not providing services for the entire course of the year. There's still refugees that left the country, came back, and are now leaving the country again because of the violence. The war is not over, and U.S. involvement in that war is not over. And the sooner we acknowledge that and are honest about it, the sooner we can start dealing with some of our many other wars.
Yeah. My other overhyped story of the year that I want to talk about is taxpayers are making money on the bank bailouts, which is laughable. The fact that a few of the large banks are paying back their loans does not cover for the fact that taxpayers are heavily supporting Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, AIG, and GMAC, and are highly unlikely to see their money back on any of those. Plus, and we don't even know how many junk securities that the Fed has purchased in order to help out big banks and big insurance companies that are, you know, literally sitting on the taxpayers' books that we could lose billions of dollars over in the future.
Oh, speaking of junk and overhyped, can we permanently retire the phrase "Don't touch my junk"? Better yet, don't tap my phones, read my email, or imprison me without trial or due process. That actually concerns me a great deal more.
Uh-huh. All right. Other overhyped on the national?
Yeah, anything concerning Glenn Beck or Sarah Palin. And for that matter, Linda Lohan being in rehab again this week.
Lindsay Lohan, yeah.
Who is Lindsay Lohan, and why does anybody care?
That's a very good question. I ask myself that all the time about her and Britney Spears.
Yeah, well, the fact that I even know who they are fills me with an incredible self-loathing.
Yes.
I think there's probably a rehab for that, too.
And they're probably in it.
All right. Other overhyped on national or on to international?
Well, we do national and international together.
Oh, yeah.
Let's move on to the underreported because that's the really important one where our you know,
deserving
legacy media
time.
Has just been, our legacy media has really been failing us and did so once again this year.
All right. So.
Well, let's start with local for underreported.
Yeah, for local, I have the fact that the city council and the mayor passed up a very well-qualified African-American candidate for chief of police and instead opted to go with the business as usual by taking assistant chief of police John Diaz and making him the chief of police. And, of course, in doing that, what they did is they just kind of perpetuated this institutional racism within the city government and the police department that doesn't want to address issues of complaint by the African American community and other minority communities that the SPD has assaulted, you know, made numerous attacks on suspects who were African American.
And of course, since then, we've seen a whole rash of highly publicized cases involving exactly that.
Yeah, and we've seen videotape that was just, you know, showed egregious conduct on the part of SPD officers. And the city's really doing nothing about it. And, you know, as part of that, they passed up on a really well qualified, a really good candidate who would have made that one of his main areas to deal with if he'd been made chief of police of Seattle.
Yeah. We mentioned earlier talking about the initiatives and the misinformation going on about that. The flip side of all of those initiatives is that most of the initiatives on the ballot, with the exception of the high earners income tax, were put there by corporate money. And that and mainstream media did very, very little to connect the dots on that and say that the initiative process itself, regardless of whether any specific initiative passes or fails, the fact that really, in order to get on the ballot right now, the conditions that you have to meet in terms of getting the number of signatures and verifying them and so forth, really, it requires the type of money that really is only available to very few grassroots groups and primarily to corporate sponsors at this point. And corporations have figured out that this is a way to bypass the legislature when they can't buy legislators. So really the whole process that was put into the state's constitution in order to give ordinary citizens a means of recourse if special interests in the legislature were too heavily corrupted, that process itself has now been corrupted by corporate interests.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And on my list is the downtown traffic tunnel. The viaduct replacement project is already over budget. You can't get that if you read any articles in local media or if you listen to any news reports on local TV. You can't get that information because nobody can seem to agree on what the heck the budget is for the viaduct replacement tunnel. Every time I read a different article, it's a different number. So my question is, what the heck is the budget? And as far as we know, with the numbers that I've seen, it looks like we're already over budget. And if we take into account the fact that the state has already awarded half of the reserve money to the winning bidder so that they can come in, quote unquote, under budget, to me, that doesn't mean that they are under budget. That tells me they're over budget. And that's something that the media just hasn't picked up on.
Yeah. And then another good one, there's really no shortage of these. We heard a lot, and we'll hear a lot again as the legislature convenes later this month, about the state budget deficit and you know the need to cut, and the need to cut this and the need to cut that. Well, a couple of things. Number one, the revenue side of this is never, ever, 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 ever discussed, and we never hear about the corporate tax loopholes, which are costing the state literally billions of dollars. The worst of these, which is something that passed last April during another of the special sessions to deal with the budget deficit, was a huge new tax break for Microsoft, redefining a state royalty tax in a way that not only saves Microsoft about $100 million a year going forward, but also retroactively absolved the country of up to $1.2 billion in back taxes, penalties, and interest from a scam involving claiming its software was licensed in the state of Nevada when it's been packaged and produced and shipped from Washington State all along. That money would all by itself cover about half of the state's budget deficit. And the state just gave it to Microsoft, basically.
Yeah, and you know, there's a total of about $12 billion $12 billion in B&O tax loopholes hanging out there, and that's way more money than makes up the deficit. The deficit's only a couple billion. Well, actually, it's going to be about $5 billion, I think, this next two year budget. But you know, if they closed half of those, there you go, you've plugged the hole.
Yeah, and what legislators have done is make the judgment that those tax loopholes, and let's be fair, every time a company that has an army of paid lobbyists like Microsoft or Boeing comes in and gets a lucrative tax break, then every other industry from, you know, apple growers to nail file manufacturers comes in and says, we want the same treatment. And by and large, they usually get it, which is why we've got so many loopholes throughout the state's tax code and why we have such a regressive state tax code, not on individuals, but also on corporations, and why small businesses are so heavily penalized compared to large businesses in this state. If any of that were on the table, we wouldn't be talking about slashing social services. We wouldn't be talking about gutting K-12 and higher education. We wouldn't be talking about putting the burden of these deficits primarily on the backs of the poor, the elderly, the disabled, and the people who can afford it least, because the people who can afford it the most are being coddled by the state legislature.
Is there any single place one can turn to find a grandiose listing of all the loopholes? Seems like that would
question.
Be a pretty nice resource
the phone
to
book.
Have in the business pages.
Yes.
All right. Other underreported, we sticking with local here?
Yeah. The FBI investigation of the Port of Seattle's contracting practices came and went with no discussion in the media at all, which made it very easy for the feds to just close the case and say, nope, we're not doing anything to you guys. Give the Port of Seattle commissioners and staff a pat on the back and say, go ahead and keep doing business as usual. Don't worry about that state auditor's finding of potential fraud. We're hanging with you.
Yeah.
All right. Mr. Parrish?
Yeah, this was one that you had on your list as well, Maria. The judge's ruling that the Washington state law banning felons from voting violated the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Nothing's been done about that. Nothing whatsoever.
Yeah. And we hear nothing about it. And I know there must be people out there trying to address it, but the media hasn't covered it at all. Also on my list is the Regional Transit Task Force recommendation to change the way bus service is allocated in King County to get rid of their allocation ratio that gives the vast majority of new routes to the suburban areas of the county and allocates very little new bus service to the in-city riders where most of the riders are. So we continue to have these half-empty buses going out to places like Issaquah and Auburn and Kirkland. And in-city bus routes are standing room only and sometimes have to pass up people at the stops because there's just no room for them to get on.
All right. Anything else on local?
Well, we have a ton of national and international.
Let's do that.
So let's go for some of that.
All right.
Yeah. At the top of my list is the national and international are all the different aspects of the BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico that went completely unexamined or unreported in the national news. I think at the top of that would be the fact that these kind of spills go on all the time in other parts of the world, for example, Nigeria, and we hear nothing about them. And the fact that this one happened in the Gulf of Mexico, that grabbed all the headlines. But, hey, these big oil companies, and BP in particular, this is business as usual for them. That's at the top of my list, and a very close second in regards to the oil spill is the fact that even though it's not washing up on beaches in the Gulf of Mexico, doesn't mean it's gone. The dispersants made the oil sink to the bottom of the ocean where the vast majority of marine life lives. And it's just been a disaster for the Gulf of Mexico. And no one is studying the long-term effects of the largest oil spill in U.S. history.
And I would put all of that as a subcategory and an even larger underreported story, which is that our oceans are dying. You know, between climate change, which was the rapidly accelerating effects of climate change, the acidification of the oceans, the overfishing of stocks. We have massive areas of our oceans, including in the North Pacific, off the Pacific Northwest coast, that are dead zones at this point. And the problem is getting rapidly and steadily worse, and it's getting very, very little attention from governments or agencies that might be in a position to do something about it. For instance, the various agencies that oversee the international fishing industry, or for that matter, the deep water oil drilling.
Yeah. Also on my list is the FBI using your tax dollars to groom and train domestic terrorists. We've seen this time and again with story after story where the FBI arrests a teenager or a homeless 20-something guy who made some comment to somebody at some point that he wanted to bomb something. The FBI has helped those kids realize their violent dreams and are using your taxpayer dollars to do that. That's something that the media has not been covering at all.
So a job placement program.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. And this is, and this came in a year when all of the, not just the FBI, but all of the many, many intelligence agencies in the U.S. managed to miss Faisal Shahzad, the guy who was the Times Square bomber, who fortunately had a little malfunctioning Rube Goldberg device in his car that ignited but didn't explode. They managed to miss him completely and only caught him after the fact at the same time as they're grooming, a 17-year-old. Or a 19-year-old giving these guys cell phones and making fake bombs for them and giving them SUVs in order to carry out car bombings.
Yeah, probably the two biggest on the list for national and international in mine were somewhat related, which was first of all the glorification of ignorance in American culture, and this is true both culturally and politically. I had a headline as the return of the Know Nothing Party, and I was mocking Glenn Beck and Sarah Palin earlier, but the fact that large swaths of the American public take them seriously and credulous in regard to them tells you a lot that. The upshot of it for a lot of this sort of stuff is that facts, scientific or otherwise, not only no longer matter to a lot of people, but are openly ridiculed as elitist. It's hard to imagine that, you know, any of our myriad crises can have any kind of a solution when, you know, the basic facts of what the crises are open to ridicule because they don't conform with somebody's preconceived idea of what a holy book says or what's, you know, economically convenient. The economic convenience ties into the second piece of that, which is the huge impact of the Citizens United Supreme Court decision at the beginning of the year. We saw that really within the year with the impact on the 2010 midterm elections, not just at the federal level, but also at the state and local level across the country. You had, you know, dozens of federal elections and countless local elections that were influenced by corporate money in a way they never have been before. In most of those cases, the race was swung to the Republican or the more conservative candidate in the race, the one who would be the most corporate friendly. And it's a distortion of the democratic process that it really has very, very frightening long-term implications for the health of what's left of our democracy.
Yeah. And what should have been on my list of overhyped stories, the national budget deficit, is actually on my underreported stories because the budget deficit has nothing to do with Social Security or Medicare costs. The hard truth is that it's all about the Bush-era tax cuts and the continuing and extremely expensive wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, which have completely bankrupted this country. Now, a lot of people might think we only are in two wars, but there's really a third war going on, and really ramped up this year in Pakistan. And we're in Pakistan, we're not just fighting a group of tribal entities that support the Taliban. We're also fighting the Pakistani military, whose intelligence service is supporting the Haqqani network of the Taliban.
I thought when you said you were going to talk about a third war, I thought you were talking about Somalia, where we keep bombing civilian populations.
Where we've been, yeah, that's another war. And there's another conflict as well that ramped up this year in Yemen, which is becoming yet another front on the quote-unquote war on terrorism, which is sort of an umbrella term for we're going to fight whatever war we want to wherever. And, you want to find out where your money's going? Well, all you need to do is look overseas and where U.S. weapons are going, where U.S. aerial drones are going, that's where your money is going.
Don't you know we have officially retired the phrase war on terror and global war on terror? We the Obama administration no longer uses that.
That's right, because you would think that the nation's new defense policy would be something different from the Bush era now that Obama is in office.
Yes, we call it rebranding.
Yes, because in fact it's the same old thing as it was. The Obama administration made absolutely no changes to the Bush era doctrine of overwhelming force. They gave it a new name. What we call it is the doctrine of overwhelming denial. As Jobs said, it is rebranding. It's the same old policy dressed up in new clothes, as you can tell by the fact that this year the UN issued a report condemning the use of unmanned aerial drones as a war crime. That's because, guess who? The U.S. is the main developer and deployer of unmanned aerial drones. I bet folks can remember about, 10 years ago? When we were condemning Saddam Hussein for developing what looked like a bicycle with wings as an unmanned aerial drone. When in fact we're developing jet-like unmanned aerial drones that routinely bomb villages in Pakistan, in Yemen, in Somalia, you name it, and the civilian casualties are rising by the day.
Yeah. And speaking of American war crimes, another item for the list is all of the various WikiLeaks revelations. And what should have been on our overhyped list was, you know, WikiLeaks being a threat to American security. Instead, what was vastly underreported was the nature of the many war crimes that the various leaks over the course of the year revealed, from the video of the civilian massacre in Baghdad to the years and years and years of detainee torture, prisoner torture, and civilian massacres in both Afghanistan and Iraq to the to the various depredations of the State Department in the most recent batch of releases, those are the take-home lessons from the various leaks that WikiLeaks publicized that people really should have been paying attention to, not whether anybody's diplomatic feelings were hurt or whether Julian Assange is not prosecutable for treason since he's not a U.S. citizen.
And then on my list also is anti-globalization protests have been continuing in spite of the lack of media coverage. And in the absence of media coverage, protests like the ones that occurred at the G20 events this year, and there were more than one G20 meeting, and there were more than one massive demonstrations to go along with those meetings. It's allowing government militaries, and police groups to really clamp down hard on peaceful protesters in the absence of any media coverage. And as it turns out, when you look at the fact that that the global financial system nearly came crashing down in the last 2 years, those anti-globalization protesters have a point, don't they?
Yeah. Well, not only do they have a point, but the protesters that are being thrown in jail we're taking valuable slots that should have been reserved for a lot of the people who should be in jail but are not. Namely, we have a whole roster of financial criminals, of political criminals, from Dick Cheney to the various people in the Bush administration who were never prosecuted, to new crimes being perpetrated by the Obama administration and its various allies. None of that can even be discussed in the context of the various violations of both national and international law that are occurring, let alone can there be a kind of accountability for it, because it's just not polite, because American politicians and fine defenders of free enterprise would never do anything sociopathic, would they?
No. No, that kind of syncs well with my list of underreported economic ones, where I said where the last one on my list is that nobody has been charged or prosecuted for the global financial meltdown. That's just,
And not only has nobody been prosecuted for it, but most of the behavior and many of the same people are continuing with the same behaviors.
Oh, yeah.
And that hasn't been reported either.
Yeah, and they say corporate profits are up. Well, corporate profits are up because of all of the mergers and downsizing and firings that are going on, but also because they're doing business as usual and they're running up yet another bubble.
Yeah.
In the financial markets.
And I would add as one last overhyped thing that we can probably put in as an annual category every year now, the recovery is not right around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in spite of what the stock market is doing, that's not the actual economy.
Yeah, and until we get some kind of fundamental reforms and some kind of accountability for the people who perpetrated these kind of crimes, that behavior is just going to keep continuing. We're going to keep having the same structural problems.
Mm-hmm. So you're not anticipating any great changes for the coming year?
Oh, I can be hopeful, but anticipating, I wouldn't quite go that far.
Yeah.
So anyway, all of those and more are on the full year in list of Media Follies 2010. It's the lead story at eatthestate.org. You can find them there. And in fact, digging back through the annals of the internet, you can probably find them for the previous 14 years as well. So, you can go back and say that we've been hitting many of these same themes for years and years and years and years.
It's been years and years.
But, the details change, but the overall themes, they're perennials very often.
All right. And anticipated changes, if any, for Eat the State in the coming year?
Well, we made the big change this past year. We massively upgraded our website and moved toward that as our blog as our primary area of focus, as opposed to a print publication. And we're going to continue to refine that and add some calendar features and some other features moving forward that we hope will make it better than ever, and a fine local and national and international source of news and analysis and humor and ridicule and all the things we enjoy.
We can always use more contributors, especially people who want to write about local issues.
Yeah, absolutely. If you are interested in doing that or would like to help out otherwise, please drop us an email. Our email is editorial@eatthestate.org.